King James there was a Church of England. We call that the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church was the official Church of England. Now, how many of you guys know there's no official church in the United States? The state had its own church. The church had the state, I don't know which, but they were together. The monarchy, the kingdom, and the church. And so it created this political power base. And the problem is that they were persecuting anybody that did not agree with Anglican doctrine. So if you were Protestant, if you were a Puritan, if you were Catholic, if you were Jewish, or basically any religion or even any sect of Christianity outside the Anglican Church, or you disagreed with any of their doctrines, King James considered that tyranny. He considered that treason, and you would be tried. I mean, they burned people at the stake for making an unauthorized translation of the Bible. Before the King James Bible, there were other English translations. I'm not going to get into that. But this was a different era. This was a different time, yeah? And so there was this group of Puritans, and we call them pilgrims because they journeyed. But they were being persecuted, so they tried to go to Holland. That didn't work out so well. They had to come back, and they tried to leave for America. They tried to get away with these two boats, the Mayflower and the Speedwell. You don't hear about the Speedwell because it leaked. They had a leaky boat, so they took that back, and they put 102, what we call pilgrims, 102 sailed, men, women, and children, sailed to America. And it took them about 2 months. And this happened in 1620, and I believe it was September 6th. And so they traveled to America over rough seas, and when they arrived, they were aiming for Virginia, but they ended up somewhere up Cape Cod. But eventually they established a community in what is known as Plymouth. So this is the Mayflower. You guys have heard of the Mayflower. The Mayflower landed there in Plymouth. It was a community, and the first governor there, his name was William Bradford. The only problem is that they went through the winter, and half of them died. And so there was only about 50 of them left. But they met these Indians. There were a couple named Squanto, and there's a couple other ones that we know. But they made friends, and these guys already knew how to speak English. So that made it very helpful, and they taught them how to plant corn, and they call it Indian corn. Have you guys seen that? Sometimes you see the fake Indian, the multicolored looking corn, and you'll see that in the Thanksgiving thing with the pumpkin, and you put that as a centerpiece. Well, they had Indian corn, or they had this corn, and they were able to grow it. They had planted in the summertime, and then the harvest came, and there was so much corn that they would survive. They would survive the winter. And they were so thankful that they declared a feast. And it was the first Thanksgiving feast. It was 3 days, not one. First Thanksgiving. It was about December 1621. It was a three-day feast. And it included probably not what you think. Now, we have Thanksgiving. We have a turkey. We have cranberry sauce, fried yams. But their Thanksgiving, of course, they had the corn. They had deer. They had cod, they had lobster, bass. And so they didn't have that traditional thing that we think of, but this is what they had. And they did have turkeys. But see, their turkeys ran 25 miles an hour. They were wild turkeys, not wild turkey. They were wild turkeys, and they were chasing these guys through the forest. So it was really hard. So they didn't have a lot of turkeys, but they did eat some turkeys. Now, there were 90 of the Indians. There were 50 pilgrims. And there were only 4 women that cooked this whole meal for the 3 days. But they were so thankful. And it included, obviously, eating included archery. They did archery. They ran. They did racing. They did wrestling. So it was this great, fantastic time of Thanksgiving, but most of all, they prayed. They prayed to God. They were so thankful. Now, a couple of years later, in 1623, they were in a hard time because they were going to have, they had a drought. It wasn't raining. The corn wasn't growing. Nothing was growing. And so what the pilgrims did was they would call a day of a proclamation of prayer, you know, and fasting. That's what they did. Because they didn't have refrigerators, they didn't have a lot of the things that we have today. They planted, if nothing grew, they'd starve. They would not make it through the winter. And so the Indians were with them, and they saw the pilgrims, and they were praying for rain. And something happened really shortly, right after they were finished praying, it began to rain. And this is what William Bradford said, and he was the governor of Plymouth. Says it came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in abundance, as that ye earth was thoroughly wet, soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken ye decayed corn, they talk kind of like that, and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made ye Indians astonished to behold. They had seen how powerful the God of the pilgrims was. They were so surprised how quickly he answered.